Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me, I would give my heart to thee. Thy devoted servant, make me only thine to be. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender, I am thine, Lord, here's my heart. Use me now, Lord Jesus, use me as I tell of Calvary. May thy Spirit move within me, bringing souls to thee. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender, I am thine, Lord, here's my heart. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. Thank you so much. Encouraging words that we all need to think through. You know, I say encouraging words because we need encouraging words these days. There's a lot of things that people look as very discouraging today. I was looking at some statistics that indicated that there's a lot of discouraged Christians that are out there today. That's just the truth. Some different polls or research that have been done out there would say that because of a lot of the things that have happened this past year, there's a lot of discouraged people out there. There's a lot of discouraged Christians. There's a lot of discouraged pastors and leaders that are out there today that because of some different things, with the virus, different things with distancing and things with this and not being with people as much. And again, I know we're hopefully getting past some of that, but with some of that, you know, things have gotten worse, and there are a lot more discouraged people today than there were a year ago, and that's the truth. A lot more discouragement. And I think that even within our church, we find people that with circumstances in our country, things that are going on in our world, even local things in our community and things in our church and in our own families, and even in our own bodies, health-wise, our lives can be discouraging at some point in time. And so this morning, I want us to see some things of encouragement. I want us to be encouraged today in the things of the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'm going to read a verse to you, and then I'm going to give you some background. Actually, let me give you some background while you turn there, and then we'll look at the verse that I want to look at. If we were to go back in 1 Samuel to chapter 15, we go back to Saul's sin. I don't know if you remember that, when God had told Saul that he was supposed to utterly destroy the people that were around him, and he didn't. He disobeyed, and he blamed others for it, and his people for it. He didn't do what God wanted him to do, and of course, God rent the kingdom from him and would give it to another. That was Saul's sin in chapter 16. We have David anointed as the next king. In chapter 17, we read the story of David and Goliath, and so we're on a positive note, and David's following the Lord. In chapter 18, things turn a little bit, and Saul begins to hate David for who he was and how he was lifted up and glorified and honored. And so we read many events of David and Saul trying to get David. And I would say that for David, that would be a really discouraging time to be hunted by a nation's leader and wondering how, I'm going to survive the next day. And we find Saul and David and their stories in the next, 8, 9, 10 chapters. Saul pursuing David, David fleeing to the cave, the mountains, the desert, the wherever he could go by himself with a few men. And in this case, where we find him, with around 600 soldiers, 600 of David's loyal men with him. And so this is where we find David. In chapter 27, David joins the Philistines for a long period of time. He joins them in their efforts as he flees Saul. And I'll tell you that this was a mistake that David made. And one of the reasons why David made this mistake, a joining hand with the Philistines, he never asked the Lord if he should do it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is it a dangerous thing to do things without asking God what he wants? What do you think? It's a dangerous thing. Folks, I want to tell you something. Even if it seems right, even if it sounds 100% right in your mindset, even if it seems like it matches up with the things of the Lord, we ought to go before the Lord in prayer. We ought to consult the Lord. You remember Joshua with the Gibeonites. Now, Joshua made a mistake that any one of us could make. You remember that story? How they came and they weren't very far away. Joshua had command to utterly destroy everybody that was around him. And these men from Gibeah, they wanted to pretend like they were people from a long way away so they wouldn't fit into this decision that they killed everybody. And so they dressed up and they had poor things. They had their clothes and they lied and they came in and said, we're poor, we come from a long way. Would you make a league with us? Would you make an agreement with us that you won't, do anything to us? And what's Joshua's mistake? Now, honestly, did Joshua use common sense? He did. Did Joshua think about what would be good? He did. What was his mistake? The Bible says that Joshua did not go to the Lord and ask him what he should do. And Joshua got into a predicament that he was in the middle of two mistakes. He would disobey God or he would break his promise with those people. What's he going to do? The mistake in our lives is made when we don't go to the Lord and ask him. And David here, thinking that he needs to go to refuge, he joins league with the Philistines. Now the Philistines were an all-time enemy of God's people. But he goes and joins them for a while, and he's with them for a period of about 16 months. This is in chapter 27. Chapter 28, the Philistines go out against Israel and Saul. This is where we have Saul struggling and him consulting the medium, the witch of Endor, and he goes, and Saul should have never have done that, but he does, and for that reason and others, of course, Saul is really in trouble with the things of the Lord. That's in chapter 28, and God certainly isn't going to answer him. Chapter 29, David joins, he's with the Philistines, and he is going to go out now with the Philistines to battle, and battle against Israel. Anyway, he goes out Actually, he goes out and he's with them. Some other of the Philistines recognize David as who David is. It wasn't quiet, David and all that he had done for the things of the Lord and that God was on his side. And the Philistines say, listen, why is he here? Again, why is he with us? He shouldn't be here. And so he showed some concern, and so the king tells him, well, maybe you should maybe not be a part of this. You know, my people aren't with you, and so maybe you should go back. All right, you remember Ziklag? David had been given a city for his, and so David and his 600 men returned back to Ziklag. While he's gone, this is where we're at in 1 Samuel in chapter 30. Okay, let's read these verses. Let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now remember, this is David's little city that he had gotten while he was away, okay? And had taken, verse 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And I'm going to stop right there. Let me ask you a question. Was this a time for David to be discouraged? I'm talking humanly. Yeah. Can you imagine if you were David? Now, David, I'm sorry, but he did not have a life of just a wonderful life in the past 10 chapters that we've read about. David's lived a discouraging life, hasn't he? I mean, he's anointed to be the next king, and yet the next many, many years, he's fleeing from the king himself. He's going around. It had to be discouraging. Everywhere he went, there was somebody that was hunting him. He was something going on. And now he's, again, I don't believe that he was doing right in joining arms, you know, with these people. He went, but there's a little bit of time in life where he's got some people that are at least with him a little bit. But he goes away and he comes back, and now these Amalekites had taken this city that was his, taken his children, taken his wives, taken the families, taken the possessions, burned it down. And we find David and his people discouraged here. They were discouraged. At the end of the verse, in verse 6, though, we find something, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. God, I need you this morning. Lord, in a few moments, I'm asking you to empower me to deliver this truth to these people. Lord, there might be some discouraged individuals out here today. Individuals that don't know what to do and where to go and how to do it. Individuals that are struggling with finances. Individuals that are struggling with decisions. Individuals that are struggling with discouragements. Individuals that are struggling with physical ailments. Individuals that are struggling with spiritual needs, work needs, social needs, family needs. God, it's an easy day to be discouraged. But Lord, my prayer is that I can pass to these people a need to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. God, I pray that you would work this morning and that you would encourage our hearts today while we're here. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we can be encouraged. Amen. But David encouraged himself in the things of the Lord his God. Now, I want to ask you to keep a tab here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, but I want you to go to the New Testament to a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Would you go there? Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 10, a verse that probably many of you know. Now, understand that as we look at the Scriptures, we have a couple different languages that the Scriptures are written in. Okay, in the Old Testament, the Scriptures are written in what? Hebrew. Okay, understand that. So the words that we look at are Hebrew words, Hebrew thoughts, Hebrew ideas, a Hebrew context, Hebrew culture, Hebrew society. Okay, we've got to understand that. And so as we look to interpret the Old Testament, we understand and we've got to think in a Hebrew way, Hebrew language. Then we get to the New Testament and we have a little Aramaic, but then we have mostly Greek. Okay, and the Greek we look at, and we look at these words that are used, and we've got to think just a little bit differently, and we've got to understand these Greek words. And honestly, we have an English language in which we read the words, and our English words, there are parallels in the Hebrew and parallels in the Greek to those, but we've got to understand these words. Now, when we're looking at words in the Hebrew and looking at words in the Greek, we've got to understand that just because they have the same English word doesn't mean that the words are the same in their respective languages. Okay, now, we do, here at Faith Bible Church, we put a strong emphasis on the King James Bible that we have, and we feel that our words here are the words that God wants us to have. And so we don't undermine any of the words that were given, but I believe, and we believe here in our church, that when we look back and we look at some of these Greek words and Hebrew words, that it just helps us to understand. You know, for me, we don't talk the same way as, you know, that we did 100 years ago, even in America. We don't. In fact, have you ever picked up an old piece of literature from way back and you tried to read it, and it's a little bit difficult to read? Okay, and so we read it. And it's good sometimes to take an old dictionary. I like to take Noah Webster's old dictionary from way back in the early 1900s, actually 1800s. What number is that? What year is it? Noah Webster's 18 whatever dictionary. I like to go way back, and I like to look at some of the ways the words were used back then, because it helps me to understand certain words that we don't use today. Now, I'm not talking about, with our King James Version here, going back, and I'm not talking about that. All I'm simply saying is this. It helps us to understand the way words are used and to understand a little bit of language to help us to determine what is being said here. And what I want to say is there's a word in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 that although it's a Greek word, it's very much the same kind of word that's being used, that was used of what David was going through. All right. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and you pick out the word. All right. We looked at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and the verse there. And now I want to read this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And the word, be strong. Be strong. You know, as we look at this word, be strong, the word strong means to take a stand, to have courage, to think right, don't retreat, be active, be obedient, be encouraged, to be strong, to be encouraged. Remember, David encouraged himself in the things of the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was encouraged. But I want us to look at Ephesians. We'll go back and look at David here to see what's going on in his life. But I want you to see some things from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I broke this down into a couple points this morning. First of all, be strong in the Lord. It is an imperative. Now, I'm not asking you to be a Greek scholar today, but the word that is given here, to be strong in the Lord, it's an imperative. It is not a suggestion. What's an imperative? Very simply, it is a command. It's telling us that we don't have a choice. Now, when I say we don't have a choice, We can choose not to, but according to God, He's not given us a choice. He doesn't say you can choose to be discouraged or you can choose to be encouraged. He doesn't say you can choose to be weak or you can choose to be strong. No, He tells you, I want you and I'm commanding you to be strong. The first thing that I want you to see, it is a command. It's an imperative. God wants us to. He tells us to. He commands us that we need to stand strong. He tells us that we need to have courage in a day when it's hard to have courage. He tells us that we need to think right in bold thoughts. He tells us that we need to have right actions. He tells us that we need not to retreat and that we need to be active. He tells us that we need to be obedient, and He commands us, Christians, you, Christian, need to be encouraged. Did you hear that this morning? You know, this is not one of the passages that Jesus comes alongside. And by the way, Jesus is a comforter. The Holy Spirit specifically is our comforter. But Jesus is a man that, as He went by His disciples, you know, he had certain looks about Him, and He had comfort as He looked at those people. Jesus wasn't a very encouraging person. But this passage right here, I want to tell you folks, is not just a kind of a comforting passage. He's getting a little forceful here in it, and He says, Christian, I'm going to tell you something. And I don't know if He would have pointed His finger, but He says, Christian, I'm commanding you to be encouraged. Christian, I want to tell you today, it's not an option for us to be discouraged. God never is allowing us right now in 2021 the option to be discouraged. There's no choice for that. God says, Christian, I want you to be encouraged. Are you discouraged this morning? And again, there's plenty of passages that would come and as if it were put their arm around you and say, you know what, Sean, I know you're struggling today, and let me encourage you in the things of the Lord. And there's plenty of passages in the Bible that are very encouraging that way. But this passage is a little bit different. There's a pointed finger that says, Christian, you need to be encouraged. You need to be strong in the Lord. And David was, in this case, he was active in, if I could say, being strong. Now I want you to go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And again, we're staying in Ephesians chapter 6. But I told you we would go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now that phrase, that sentence that I just told you might have caught you a little off guard. Because if you know a little bit about the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, you say, what do you mean David was active in being strong? We'll get there in just a moment, but let's go back and see what I mean that he was active in being strong. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I want us to look, we already read verse 6, and we concluded with David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. But I want to read verses 7 and 8. Follow with me. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And I'm going to stop there. All right. There was absolutely something to do. Now David, it says at the end of chapter 30 and verse 6, it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, how did he just encourage himself? The first point that we see, and it's a very simple point, is that God commands us to be encouraged. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you're discouraged today, God is telling you right now where you're sitting, Christian, you need to be encouraged. There is no choice. You don't have a choice today to leave through those doors discouraged. He says, you need to leave encouraged. And it's a command of the Lord. But as you sit there, you say, how am I going to do this? How can I just encourage myself in the things of the Lord, in the Lord my God? How do I do that? Well, we see what David did, and it fits right along with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. What did David do? Immediately, we see in verse 7, he went to the priests, and he said, bring the ephod. This was the business outfit. this was getting alone with the Lord. This was the outfit that they put on when they were going to go before the Lord and determine, God, I need direction from you. I need you to encourage me right now. I need you to tell me what I'm supposed to do and how where I'm supposed to go. And we stop right there and we find ourselves in that boat so much in our lives. I don't know what to do. I'm in this situation and I don't know how to spend my money on this, and I don't know how to make these decisions, and I don't know how to respond to this person at work, and I don't know, you know, how to handle this that my wife is going through, or my husband, and he's dealing with this. And we find ourselves questioning, we find ourselves wondering, we find ourselves in a struggle. Now, we go back to David. David is in a situation. He comes back to Ziklag. He's been in a discouraging life so far, and now his city is burned. His family's taken away. And did you catch that even his faithful, loyal 600 men, some of them are turning on him? Did you catch that? Again, do you think that would be a discouragement to David? Okay, so we find David, a man after God's own heart, discouraged. He's down. He's next to defeat. And he takes action. He takes action. And what was that action? That brings us to the second thing. And it's still it involves the same phrase. Now, be strong in the Lord. First of all, it's an imperative, right? There's a command. But I want you to see, second of all, in a sense, it's an impossibility. Because we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. It's an impossibility, and I know some of you are looking at me like, what do you mean? It's a command, but it's impossible. It's an impossibility by ourselves. You realize that you have zero ability to strengthen yourself? It's a command to be strengthened, but you don't have any ability. But have you ever tried? I have. Have you ever woke up in the morning one day and you've been living in defeat, you've been struggling with certain things, and you've been defeated, and you went to bed the night before defeated, and you wake up in the morning and it's just, you know, the alarm rings, or you just, you know, and reality hits. You got out of that dream, you know, you had that maybe wonderful dream or that horrible dream and you couldn't wait, whatever, but you realize, and sometimes it takes me a few moments to recognize, wait a second, that was not reality. Here I am. And in many cases for me, it's been like, whew. You ever been there? Wow, I'm so glad that wasn't real, you know? And I'm not one that, you know, dreams a ton, or, well, they say that you dream all the time, but I'm not one that remembers a lot of my dreams. But you wake up and all of a sudden it's, you're like, whew. But in some cases, what floods your soul goes back to where you were right before you went to sleep. And all of a sudden, all of that comes back to your heart. You know what I'm talking about? And you're struggling. But like the best of us Christians, we're instructed to be strong. And so what we do today, and you say, I can't do that anymore. And what I physically do, you know, and I'm kind of a physical person, you know, with sports and lifting weights and work and all this stuff. My reaction, if I could put it into an action for you to see, would be kind of one of these things. You get what I'm saying? You know, if my face, you tighten up. And what am I saying when I do this? I'm going to do this today, right? I am going to do this today. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm not going to do those actions. I'm not going to do wrong. And very well-meaning sometimes, I'm not going to entertain that. I will not do that. I'm going to do right. I'm going to be a blessing to this person. I'm not going to do this. And in our well-meaning, we squeeze our fists, we grit our teeth, and we, you know, solid up our face, and we're ready to get up, and in some cases we get out of bed and we're going to do right. Do you know what I'm talking about? Impossible. It is literally impossible to do it, folks. You can't do it. And if you're like me, you have done one of these things 155 times and failed 155 times. But see, God's not telling you to get up and do this. I'm going to do this today. No, He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? Now, the Greek word that is used here, I know we're getting into a lot of language things today, but the Greek word that is used here is what they call a passive word. That means I'm the receiver of something, not the giver or the doer. I receive something. I accept it into my life. The action is done by somebody else upon me, and I receive it. I'm the recipient of it. He says, Sean Madrid, I want you to be the recipient of God's strength. I want you to receive God's strength. All of a sudden, that action of this when I wake up in the morning, I'm relieved of. I don't have to grit my teeth. I don't have to steady my jaw. I don't have to flex my muscles and ball up my hands and my fingers and say, I'm going to do this today and jump out of bed with a lot of zeal. God says, Sean, I just want you to continually be the recipient of my strength. Have you ever had somebody in your life that was around you that you could go to for anything? When we were at Anthony Baptist Church before here, we lived down the road from an elderly couple that was truly a blessing to us. And some of my children would remember a little bit of them, but we've been removed from them for a while now. But there was an older couple that lived down the road just, I don't even know if it was a mile. And they were there, and he was a John Deere guy. He only dressed in green and yellow, and that was just the way he is. And he wore a pair of overalls, and he was a welder by trade. He did a little bit of farming on the side, and he was one of these guys that I could go to him and ask him about for anything. I could go to him and say, you know what, I need to do something like this. I'm looking to build something like this or make something like this. He didn't have the immediate answer, but you give him a few hours, he would say, let me think on that one for a little bit. And within a few hours, he would drive over to my house and he would have a drawing of what it ought to look like. And he says, this is what we're going to do. Kind of funny, this is what we're going to do. In my mind, it's like, that's what you're going to do. Not because I didn't want it, but because I couldn't do what you do. He says, but he was a humble man. He said, this is what we're going to do. And he would show me all this, and what do you think? Absolutely, thumbs up. Let's do it. Let's do it, you know. And so what he would, you know, and he would do it. In some cases, he had a welding set up, and he was a genius with all that, and he would do this and that, and he would show back up to my house. You know, we did it. He would show back up to my house, and he would say, what do you think? Another thumbs up. Good, that is perfect. And he would, and I'll tell you, I could go to him for welding needs, fabricating needs, helping this, and he did this, and he did that. I want to tell you, while we were there in those few years, that family did more for us. Now think through this just a moment. I tell you about this family, this elderly couple, for a purpose. Honestly, I couldn't do these things by myself. I couldn't do them. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the expertise. I didn't have the training. I didn't have what he had. And yet he had that knowledge. He had that expertise. He had that ability to be able to take an idea and take the bad idea, probably turn it into a good idea, put it on a piece of paper, and make it happen. Honestly, this phrase, be strong in the Lord, is kind of like that. I need to, now see, what I could have done is I could have resisted everything that he brought to me. I could have said, no, I'm going to do this. And I could have sent him back home, and I could have tried. And I'll tell you, I would have failed in comparison to what he could have done. It would have been a failure. In every one of those projects that he helped me in, it would have been a failure. Folks, I want to tell you something. God wants us and expects us to, and it's an imperative. He tells us that we need to be strong, but the strength is not us coming up with it. You cannot just wake up tomorrow morning and do right. We've got to have an action, but the action is not doing it. The action is what I would say, coming to him. And what do we call that? Anybody know? It's called prayer, faith. It is coming to God. Very practically, it's going to the Lord. Isn't that what David did here? He did. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He went to, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And the next few verses tell us what that encouragement was. It tells us what that be strong in the Lord is. And he went, he put on the ephod, and he went and he kneeled before his Lord, and he said, God, I need your help. I need your help. Our action in a time of discouragement is to go to God in prayer. And there are no other godly options, folks, is to go to God in prayer. We need to go to the Lord. The command implies weakness and troubles and struggles. Folks, are we weak? Do we struggle? Do we not know the answers? The answer is yes to all of those. And God commands us that we come to Him. Why do we go to Him? Because we have victory through Him. We have victory through Him. And that's exactly what David did. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? David goes to God for help and direction. And he's leaving it completely up to the Lord. Whatever God wanted, he casts his burden on the Lord. And with that, he is strengthened, he's comforted, and his believing confidence in the Lord's ability to do as God pleased. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Proverbs puts it this way in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Did he direct David's paths? He did. God will never leave us. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Folks, the practical application to this is we are discouraged and defeated and weak and struggling with things. It's to be strong in the Lord. We're commanded to do this. God is looking at you as an individual, sir, ma'am, that is struggling out there today, and he's telling you, you must be strengthened. How do we do that? Second point, you can't do it. It's an impossibility. You need to come to me. I'm asking you to come to me. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 10 there. Be strong in the Lord. Again, that phrase means, if I could put it in my own words, you continually go to God and let Him strengthen you. Do you catch that? You've got it wrong if you thought that you had to wake up and do this. Be strong. Do it. Just do it. You can do it. You know, all the worldly mottos that are out there today, you know, just do it. Nike, just do it. I want to tell you something. That motto is not a biblical motto. You can't just do it. They ought to change it to just pray. You got to go to God in prayer. You just need to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to tell you, folks, when we go to the Lord in prayer, God will do it. You cannot, but He can. He can. And God is commanding you. Indirectly, He's saying, you need to pray. Are you catching that? An imperative. You need to do something. What do you need to do? Nothing but pray. You need to come to me because I can strengthen you. He says, be strong in the Lord. My question to you is, how much are you really praying concerning the struggles and the discouraging things that are going on in your life? How much are you praying? You know, we do a lot of this when we're discouraged. We do a lot of getting on the calculator. We toss it on the desk. We do a lot of, you know, I was going to say flipping through the newspaper. I know you don't do that anymore. Now it's, you know, one of these. You know, looking at this, and where is this going to come? Where's that job? And what's this? We do a lot of this kind of stuff. And it's not until we go to the Lord that we find the strength. The answer is there, folks. Can I tell you? I don't know what you're discouraged about today, but I'm going to tell you. The answer is going to the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You need to be encouraged in the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. There's the answer. That's exactly what David did. He went to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. And that brings us to the third point that we look at. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, thirdly, it's an empowering. Not only Him that is going to answer, but of His might, His resources. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And He answered him one word. What did he say? Well, he says more, but in one word he says, pursue. There was his directive, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and then without fail recover all. Here's what God is saying. He said, come to me, and not only will I give you myself, but I'll give you all of my tools so that it'll accomplish it. You see, the secret behind this neighbor that I lived with next to Anthony Baptist Church, not only did this man have it up here and have the experience and the ability, but he also had all of the tools, which I didn't have. And I didn't mention that at first for a reason. He had what it took to do it, actually. He didn't just give me, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it, and then says, well, now figure out how you're going to, you know, do it. The next thing I knew, coming down the road, was one of these John Deere tractors. And he had old ones. He didn't have any of this new stuff. They were old ones. And in some cases, he had a track, Kobacter, whatever it was. It was on tracks. He had all those old-time things. And he come down in his overalls, just trucking down there. And you know what? That guy could do anything that he really needed to with his equipment. He was the kind of guy that had the money to get any tool that he wanted. So he had all the tools, he had all the things, he had all the resources, he had the place to do it, he had everything that he needed, and guess what? He had everything that I needed also. And so this man comes trucking down the road. They didn't care. You could do that back there. You probably couldn't do that down Harrisburg Avenue, but he could do it there. He came with his equipment and he would show up, and we did it. We being me, watch, and he being everything else. And in the end, he said, we did it. You know what? That's our God. I want to tell you something. You can be encouraged in the things of the Lord today, and God is not going to leave you destitute, because He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Come unto me, he says to come, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What are you doing in your discouragement today? You need to be encouraged. Number one, God says, there's no choice. Do not leave out of this building today discouraged. There is no choice. You need to be encouraged. You say, preacher, then how am I going to do it? I'll tell you how. You need to get alone with God. You need to bow your head and meet with your Maker and say, God, you have everything to offer to me. You've got the plans, you've got the thoughts, you've got the ability, you've got the background, you've got everything. But God, not only that, but you've got all the tools And according to His strength and according to His might, folks, I'm going to tell you, He can accomplish anything that can be thrown at Him, anything. There is no problem or discouragement that you're going through today that is over, that can overcome God. There is nothing. Not a thing. Because He's got every bit of wisdom and every tool that could ever be given or offered to take care of your situation. And I'll tell you, not only does He have it, but He wants to. And I'll tell you, that is what made this man so valuable in my life. Because I didn't have to go over and offer him a bunch of money. I didn't have to go over there and twist his arm. I didn't have to do anything. He wanted to. He wanted to be there. He wanted to do whatever it took to accomplish what needed to be done. He had that kind of an attitude. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you that your God wants to help you? Just like a father that loves his children is looking to his little boy that would look up at him that can't do it and say, "Daddy, Daddy, I need your help." You see, that brings honor to a daddy. Because what it says is, "Daddy, I can't do it. But Daddy, I know you can, and I'm asking you to do it. I can't do it. Can you do it?" And Daddy reaches over and picks up little boy and sets up on that stump or on that whatever it is and sits in there, and he knows that his daddy can do it. He had every bit of confidence. And he knows that his daddy wants to. Can I tell you, Christians that are discouraged out there today, your God, your Father, is waiting for you to come to Him and say, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" God commands us. It's kind of funny. God commands you to take advantage of this wonderful blessing. He says, "You be strong in me." But He says, "I've got good news. You can't do it yourself. I'll supply everything. I'll supply everything. Come to me. Come to me." Christian, you need encouragement today. We live in a discouraging world. You know what would happen? What would it take for God's people to be revived? What would it take for America to be renewed? What would it take? I will tell you, it's the same answer in this message: come to Him. If we as a church, individuals would come to Him, we would be taken care of. If our families would go to the Lord, our families would be taken care of. If our church would come to the Lord, our church would be taken care of. And I'll tell you, if our nation would come to the Lord, our nation would be taken care of. It's really very simple. Because He's got everything. He's got everything in His ability and in the toolbox to take care of us. The problem is we won't be strong in the Lord. We will just choose not to. And we will be left weak and destitute. Would you come to the Lord? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. The fact of the matter is it's time for a decision to be strong. God doesn't want weak Christians. He doesn't want defeated Christians. He doesn't want discouraged Christians. And you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, that's me." God doesn't want that, and He commands it not to take place any longer. The time is now, folks. The time is now. It's time for action, but that action isn't your deliverance. That action is going to God in prayer. It's time for a full recovery. That's what happened with David. Full recovery. It's time to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. My question to you is, would you go to the Lord this morning? Would you go to the Lord even this very hour and say, "God, I need you"? Would you come to Him? Maybe you're here this morning, as you sit here today, you say, "Pastor, I've been discouraged." You know, occasionally I get people that come through and say, "Pastor, you preached that message just for me, didn't you?" I don't know who's discouraged this morning. But in the quietness of this hour, heads bowed and eyes closed, you would just lift up your hand and say, "Pastor, I've been discouraged this morning and I needed this today." Anybody like that? "I've been discouraged." Several hands. Put your hands down. Anybody else? You say, "Pastor, there's just been some discouraging things going on in my life. Discouragement has set in a little bit and I've not known what to do." And a very timely message. Anybody else? Just a simple raise of your hand. You need encouragement today. So what do we do with that, Christians? Whether you raised your hand or not, what are we going to do? I'll tell you something, I need encouragement in areas in my life. Things that I need to step forward. God wants us to get on our knees and go before Him. My question to you today is, Christian, will you go to the Lord this morning? Would you go to Him? Would you bow before Him and say, God, I need you? That's the step right there. That's what He's asking you to do. Be strong in the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot more to it. In Ephesians chapter 6, He goes through all the armor and the equipment. But I'll tell you, the first thing we need to do is go to God. Go to God. God has everything for us. I trust that you'll come to Him today. Let's grab our hymnals. 323 is...